off the glass and left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
Jones up the left side. Shoots Miller the same. Rebound. Furland raw by Miller. As Nugent scores!
Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Matty Rose starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right. Welcome to the first hour of the first PM edition of our brand new show. Live on the radio, 4 till 7 weekdays and on demand with multiple hours a day. Welcome to Flames Talk. Subscribe to the pod feed, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your pods. On demand, we're up within minutes after an hour comes to an end. In the morning with Pinder, and then 2-3 hours a day with Matty Rose and yours truly, Pat Steinberg. Our post-game show all up on the Flames Talk pod feed as well. Pound that subscribe button. Would love to have you along for the ride. This hour features Matty Rose, and my name is Pat Steinberg. We're live in the Iconic Studio, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Currently hiring in Calgary and across Alberta with competitive wages, extended benefits. Visit iconicec.ca/careers. Matty Rose, are we ready to rock?
I think we're ready to rock. How are we doing?
I'm good, man. I am fired up. Are you? Look, I'm fired up. But how fired up are you?
I'm extremely excited. This is a new opportunity, something that I haven't had the chance to do before, and something I've been waiting to do for sure. So very excited to get after it.
I'm excited to get into some in-depth conversations. I'm excited to pound all kinds of high-end guests. Look, what you've come to expect in this hour and in this block, part of it's still going to be there. A good chunk of it's still going to be there. Derek Wills will still join us in hour one of the program on the Daily Flames Roundtable going forward. Eric Francis will still stop by on Friday. Frank Saravelli will still be one of our regulars on Wednesday. Mitch Love will still be a Monday regular, the head coach of the Stockton Heat. But Matty, I'm just excited to get into conversations. This is a Flames-focused and NHL-focused show. We've got all kinds of stuff to get into, whether it be today or going forward. I'm excited to start kicking it around with you, my friend. It was good to meet up with you yesterday, get some ideas down. I'm ready to rock, my man. I really am.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. It's something that, you know, I've lived in this city for my whole life. I've followed the Flames for the entire time I've been employed at Sportsnet 960, obviously, and something that definitely close to me from my childhood. So I'm excited to kind of break this down, get into the Flames, the NHL, and really talk just a lot of hockey. It's my favorite of the four majors, I'd say, and really excited to just kind of dive into this thing.
He's Matty Rose. My name is Pat Steinberg, and for the first guest of our first hour of our first PM edition of Flames Talk, let's say hello to Derek Wills. It is time for our Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Always improving to be better for every guest on the lot. Leave your review today for Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport. For those listening live, Derek will usually join us at 4:30 p.m. live on the radio. Today, a little earlier, we've got Brad Treliving coming up at 4:30 this afternoon. But Mr. Wills, welcome to Flames Talk, my friend.
Well, it is good to be on the first ever episode of Flames Talk. Congratulations to both of you on the new show. And Matty, congratulations on a bigger and better time slot. Looking forward to talking lots of Flames hockey with you, my friend.
Well, let's
appreciate it, man. I'm real hot, real fired up.
Let's dive in and get right into it as we look back on what has been a rough stretch for the Flames. A loss Tuesday to the Florida Panthers, and then Thursday, Friday to wrap up that road trip. A loss in Tampa Bay, and then Friday night, a great start, and then a 6-3 loss when it's all said and done to the Carolina Hurricanes. Gents, give me one takeaway from these last three games from a Flames standpoint.
Well, but my biggest takeaway, guys, is that there's definitely still a gap between the Flames, who are a good team, I think a really good team when they got their A game, and legitimate Stanley Cup contenders. And I think you could certainly argue that the three teams the Flames lost to finish up that four-game road trip, the Panthers, a certainly the Lightning as two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, and the Hurricanes are all legitimate Stanley Cup contenders. But I had a hard time really evaluating the Flames in those games for a couple of reasons. Number one, they played three times, like teams that, like I said, are legitimate Stanley Cup contenders. So if you're not at your best against teams like that, chances are you're going to lose. But number two, and I've been saying this for quite some time now, guys, the Flames just haven't had their A game for a while. And for me, that goes back to prior to their COVID Christmas pause. And I know they played a pretty good game against the Hurricanes and lost in overtime, and then not a bad game against the Bruins and lost that too. And then they came out of that 18-day break between games and won a couple of games against the teams that are lower in the standings. But I didn't love the way the Flames played in those games either. And, you know, for me, it's about getting back to the team that they were earlier this season. And Milan Lucic touched on a little bit earlier on today when he was chatting with the media, basically saying we've got to get back to being that team that we were earlier this season. And also talked a lot about pace. I guess if there's one real takeaway for me, and it's how the Flames can get back to being the team that they were so tough to play against earlier this season, is to play with more pace, to play more connected. And I think they've gotten away from that a little bit. So I think that's going to be the big thing for them moving forward, is just to find a way to be that pesky team that was so tough to play against, that nobody wanted to play against because they just couldn't get to their game against earlier this season. It's been a while since we've seen that Flames team from start to finish in games and consistently. So I just think they have to get back to being that group.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you 100%. You know, looking back at these three games, you lose to, like we've talked about, three elite opponents. The one against Carolina kind of rings true due to kind of recency bias, I guess. But my takeaway from those three games is that at each kind of point that we looked at these games, the Flames had a chance to win them. They had a chance where the power play went to work late in all three of the games, but just could not find Pater. There was some big face-offs that ended up being lost that ended up in the back of the net for these guys. I think that if I have one big takeaway, you were just a couple of mistakes away from really being in these games with some of the elite teams in the NHL. So, yeah, it's tough to look at those three straight, especially without a single point, and kind of hang your head about it. But I also think that there's a couple things that you can address, like face-offs and like power play in practice, and continue to improve towards the end of the season.
Biggest takeaway for me, guys, and we'll get into it as the roundtable continues here, but it just, right now, the forward groupings just, they need something. They need a shot in the arm. They need an addition. They need a shakeup. I don't know what it is. And not even necessarily what we saw on Friday night, where they played the first 40 minutes with Gaudreau back with Monahan, and they put Coleman up with Lindholm and Gaudreau. It's more than just that. Like it just feels like, whether it's an infusion from the American League or whether it is some sort of addition via trade, it feels like right now they don't have a set top six. We know that they have got an outstanding top line, and even though it got broken up for the first two periods Friday in Carolina, they went back to it in the third period, and Lindholm, Gaudreau, and Tkachuk were put back together, and well, that's Gaudreau scored his goal with that line on the ice, and you know they kind of got right back to where they had been playing before. But it just feels like that forward group needs something, and I've got a question on an actual trade related question in just a second. But that was my biggest takeaway, is that they just seem a little off. The combinations just aren't perfect. And that's kind of what was really driven home for me the last three games.
Yeah, and when I say that, you know, they have to get back to being the team that they were earlier this season, I know that that's pretty general and kind of all-encompassing. But I talked about pace. The other thing for me, guys, checking. They've got to get back to being that relentless checking team that takes away time and space. And you think about the Lightning and all the high-end talent that they have. That team checks. And that's why they won back-to-back Stanley Cups, because, you know, they check to get the puck back. And then once they have the puck, they have the type of talent that they don't need a lot of chances to score goals. But You know, when I think about that road trip, I still believe, and you can call me crazy if you want to, but I still believe that when the Flames are at their best, they can not only compete with teams like the Panthers and the Hurricanes, they can beat those teams. I still think there's a gap between. That's not a knock on the Flames. The Lightning, for me, have been the best team in the league over the last five seasons, and there's a reason why they won back-to-back championships. But I just don't think we've seen the best from the Flames. And, Pat, you talked about the forward group, and it's something that I said as I walked out of the boardroom after Thursday's loss to the Lightning, that I just felt like they had to try something new or shake it up, whether that be doing that internally or externally. So I couldn't blame Daryl Sutter for trying some new combinations in that game against the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that the top six really worked, but he gave it a shot. Put Monahan and Gaudreau back together. You brought up something earlier today when we were talking off the air about potentially reuniting Michael Backlund and Matthew Tkachuk. I think that's another idea that the Flames might want to think about. So, yeah, they haven't been at their best of late, but it's a long season, and I suspect they'll probably get back to being that tough team to play against sometime soon.
49 games to go in that regard for the Calgary Flames, and we know that they are scheduled to play Thursday against the Ottawa Senators. We believe that game is going forward Thursday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. It's the Daily Flames Roundtable on this hour of Flames Talk alongside Matty Rose and the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills. My name is Pat Steinberg. So in that vein, gentlemen, should the Flames be actively looking to make a forward addition between now and the trade deadline?
Yes, 100% they should. For me, this team is in, I don't want to say win now mode, because for some that might sound like I'm saying win the Stanley Cup now mode, but I do think that they're in get to the playoffs mode and see what happens once you get there. I mean, the Canadians were proof of, hey, just get in last season, right? Nobody thought that the number 16 seed to start the Stanley Cup playoffs would go all the way to the Stanley Cup final before finally losing to the Lightning. But the Canadians got in, got great goaltending from Carey Price, which I believe the Flames can get from Jacob Markstrom, and everybody started to believe, and they were greater than the sum of their parts. So getting in is the biggest hurdle and has been the biggest hurdle for the Flames. And you know, I think they'll get in even if they don't make a significant addition or additions between now and the trade deadline. But and I've been saying it since the offseason. I've said it since the puck dropped in game one of the regular season, and I'm going to keep saying it. I still think they're probably at least one top six forward away from really slotting the way they want to. And now I do wonder if they can solve some of their secondary scoring issues internally, because, and again, this is something that we talked about with Peter Laviolette when we were watching today's practice at Scotiabank Saddledome, and it was good to see the guys back on the ice at home again. But, you know, Blake Coleman, for me, the best takeaway from that four-game road trip was Blake Coleman being the guy who he was for the Lightning in winning back-to-back Stanley Cup championships and who we thought would be for the Flames. And hey, sometimes it takes a little time to get used to your teammates and coaches and to living in a new city and playing in a different system. But Blake Coleman, as good as he's been without the puck and as good as he has been defensively, I've been saying it for a while, I still think there's more there offensively. And you look at the impact he had in those three games, playing in an increased role for the Flames in the top six in the last two. I just loved his game against the Panthers, had a career-high 12 hits in that game, or 12 shots in that game. In the next game against the Lightning, he had a game-high 8 hits, which is the second most he's had in his NHL career, and I thought he was probably the Flames' best forward again in that game against the Hurricanes. So, you know, Blake Coleman's emergence during that road trip is certainly a positive development and hopefully just a sign of things to come, but I still think that they're one top six forward away from really slotting well. And you know, Tomas Hertl's a name that you brought up a lot, Pat, and I really like that name and would be excited if the Flames went down that road. But you know, a guy who I keep thinking about is Patrick Laine. What would it take to pry him away from the Blue Jackets, and could you make it work money-wise? Because there'd have to be some money going back the other way to make it work as far as the salary cap is concerned. But you know, we've talked for, it seems like, years now about the Flames' need for a top six right shot scorer. And Patrick Laine certainly fits that bill. He's got one of the top, I would say, five shots in the NHL, maybe top three. Short list of guys who can shoot the puck like he can. Would give you a guy who can score from distance, who can work one of the flanks on your power play. I think about Johnny Gaudreau feeding Patrick Laine the puck, and I get pretty excited. So I'm not sure if it'll be Hurdle or Laine or somebody else, but I do think the Flames should try to add a top six guy between now and the deadline, and maybe more than one forward.
Yeah, I'd agree. I do think the Flames should be making some sort of forward addition between now and the trade deadline. I look at it as more of a middle six need rather than a top six need. I think if you can get someone who can play maybe both sides with a little bit more offensive upside and play in your middle six, it's not going to break the bank like you would to go and get someone who's like a Patrick Laine and kind of empty out the cupboards if things don't go well this year. And you really have to kind of look to next season to make a serious run. So I do think that they should have. One of the positives for me coming out of that road trip was the fact that when Blake Coleman and Michael Backlund, who have been a tandem for, you know, a pretty healthy length of time this year and a really good shutdown kind of tandem, that when they were playing apart from each other in those games last week, that we saw some pretty good play from both of them. I thought Michael Backlund had a really strong game against Carolina, especially in the first period. Blake Coleman was all over it. We, of course, talked about how well he played against Florida and Tampa Bay. So that was a positive and kind of gave me a little bit more trust that this team is kind of deep when you look at how these top three lines kind of shake out following the latest move with Coleman playing with Lindholm and Tkachuk. I think that's a good unit. Mangiapane with Monahan and Gaudreau. I thought that there were certainly flashes for that line offensively, but I do think that there's maybe something a little bit missing there, but there's certainly potential for it. And then you look at Dubé and Backlund. Like I mentioned, I thought Backlund was really good in that last game. Dylan Dubé's kind of trying to find his way on this team, but if you can find someone with a little bit more offensive pop than Brett Ritchie, who, I like what Brett Ritchie brings to the table, but if you can get someone who can kind of have a little bit more nose for the net, pottle a few more goals, maybe set up Dylan Dubé or Michael Backlund for a few more shots, then I think that's probably the big thing that I believe would really help this team moving forward. Because apart from that, I kind of like how they slot with these current lines.
I honestly think it's time. When I say that, I don't mean like it has to happen now. I just think that it's time this season. If you're going to be in a win-now mode, which they clearly want to be in, I think this is the right season to do it, gents. Because and specifically, here is my one caveat. I think this is the year to go after a potential rental. Doesn't have to be a guaranteed rental. You can give yourself some flexibility on the back end to maybe re-sign who you go after. But, you know, the guys like Hurdle, or it's why Laine interests me a little bit less, because he's not a pending UFA. This, to me, sounds like a great year to go after a pending UFA, because especially if you can package Monahan or another deal as part of it to give yourself some flexibility to make the money work, then you move out another contract and you leave yourself with some flexibility on the back end, knowing that you've got to re-sign Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk and Andrew Mangiapane and Oliver Shillington. And you've got some cap gymnastics that you're going to have to go through at the end of the year. So by going out and acquiring a UFA, giving yourself an upgrade for this season, maybe the fit is perfect and you really want to keep that player, well, then you deal with how you're going to work your cap then. If it's just a rental, okay, yes, you've given up significant assets. I understand, and there's always a leeriness in doing that. But you go out and do that, and now you've the benefit is you've got that cap flexibility. You've freed up that money. If Monahan's deal were part of it, you've freed up either part or all of that salary cap hit. Just knowing what they have to accomplish just internally this offseason, guys, I feel like an unrestricted free agent specifically, this is the right time to go out and pounce.
Yeah, I think that's one way to look at it, Pat, and I certainly understand where you're coming from. And, you know, it's easy for us to sit here and say that Brad Treleving should go out and get a top six or even middle six forward, but way easier said than done, because Flames aren't the only team that's looking for one of those guys. So they're going to have competition, and you can't make a deal just to make a deal. You have to make a deal that you believe makes your team better. So we'll have to wait and see what he does. I'd like to see him make a move as long as it makes sense. But just knowing how this general manager operates, I'm not sure that he's going to jump at the chance to give up significant assets for a player who isn't under club control after this season. I think if you're going to give up significant assets, at least as far as I'm concerned, I'd rather that the Flames did that and got a guy that they know they're going to have beyond this season. Mm-hmm. But you know, the salary cap is really important as well. And when you think about the Flames having to re-sign Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk and Oliver Shillington, and by the way, talk about exciting things that happened on that last road trip if you're looking for silver linings. Oliver Shillington is the quarterback of the first power play is something that really intrigues me. And I was wondering if the Flames might try to acquire someone who might be able to quarterback that power play moving forward, an Eric Gustafson type. But I'm wondering if Oliver Shillington could potentially fill that role. So, yeah, easy for us to say go make a trade and go get a top six forward. But you got to make the money work. You got to make sure it's a good fit for you and that you don't overpay, at least overpay too much to get that guy. So it's going to be interesting to see what Treleving does between now and the deadline. But the good news is I don't think the Flames have a lot of holes that they have to fill, which I think allows you to maybe focus on just filling one hole instead of trying to fill a bunch of holes.
Well, table that Shillington conversation. I have written that down as one to get to this week on the round table. We'll also table our chat on Vladar. We've got lots of time until the Flames play their next game, which is currently scheduled for Thursday. So lots to get to before we get to the 13th of January. As of right now, Mr. Wills, great to have you on. Thank you for being our first feature on the first hour of the first day of the PM edition of Flames Talk.
Well, the good news is it only gets better from here because you're going to have the general manager of the Calgary Flames on, Brad Treleving, next. Looking forward to listening to that. Again, congratulations on the new show. Looking forward to being with you guys five times a week and looking forward to hearing from you in the next few minutes here.
He's Derek Wills. He's Matty Rose. My name is Pat Steinberg. That's your Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Always improving to be better for every guest on the lot. Leave your review today for Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Matty Rose is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Talking your team right now. Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Matty Rose is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Maiden afternoon voyage hour one continues. And very happy to have on the first edition of Flames Talk to help us launch it. The general manager of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treleving, joins us right now on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Tree, a pleasure. Thank you for doing this. How are you?
Good to hear. This is the new show, Pat. You got, I'm sure it came with a big new pay raise, so congratulations on that.
Oh, mama, I'm buying you a new Tesla. You're getting a new car, Tree.
Well, congratulations. I know we're all aspiring to get to that Steinberg tax bracket, so good job for you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Don't ever aspire to be like me in any way, shape, or form. That is my one life lesson. Tree, it's been a bit of a gauntlet for you and the group the last month. Just kind of how are things right now? Do you feel like you've had any time to catch your breath, or is it still feeling like you're going 6 million miles a minute?
Well, no, it's been, it's been an interesting time for sure. We got back here the other night and the sun came up. We didn't think it might there, but it did. But it's certainly, for us, we went through the last month we've gone through the COVID pause, if you will, and sort of slowly got our group back, and then the league went on pause through the holiday break, and then headed out on a different trip, went into Seattle, came back, and then to Chicago, and then down into Florida and Carolina. So it's had some stops and starts. From all we can focus on isn't, and it sounds cliche-ish and motherhood-ish and all the rest of it, but just trying to be small picture. If you get wrapped up into, all the things that are going on, and there is a little bit of uncertainty with scheduling and and when games are being postponed and not being postponed. But I think you've got to take the lessons you've learned in the last 2 years and keep your picture real small and focus what's right in front of you. And for us, it was getting back and playing and trying to get our game back in order. And we saw some good and some bad on this last road trip. Now it gives us a chance to get back home, get reset here, and have some practice days ahead of us before Thursday's game. So it's been an interesting time, but everybody's going through it. This isn't something that's unique to us and our team. Everybody's going through it, and those teams that can deal with some uncertainty and especially when you go through a little adversity, the teams that deal with it the best are going to be the ones that are left standing at the end.
Brad, you mentioned the last 2 years. It's crazy. You go back to November 2019 when, something got forced upon you, and it seems like ever since then it's been brand new challenge after brand new challenge, and here we are in January 2022. Like, what has Brad the GM learned over the last 2 years plus about kind of the different curveballs that can be thrown at you?
Well, I think what I just said, Pat, just you can get, you can't get frustrated with uncertainty, right? You've got to be nimble, and you've got to be flexible, and you've got to be willing to not be locked into, whether it be a lineup, whether it be things that are thrown at you last minute. We're all creatures of habit, and you like to have your routine. And like I said, this isn't just, we're like a microcosm of society where all of our routines have been thrown off. But I think, being sort of flexible, that's become the new normal now, right? And you start each day, hoping that your phone doesn't ring early in the morning from the trainer with bad news. But that's sort of how you start out right now is every morning to see what people are available and what people aren't, and you sort of go from there. And that's really what, our situations may be a little bit different it sort of came all at us all at once. Going back to when you're talking specifically on the COVID situation where, for the most part, even going back to the original pause, we've had cases with our team, but really limited. When we had some cases, it was even before we went into the bubble, we had one or two here or there. And then all of a sudden it just was, we were getting on a plane to go to Chicago. We had a few cases. Then all of a sudden we went from, 7 cases to 21 cases. And, so there's a little bit of shock value involved in it. The hope that we have is that the lion's share of disruption is behind us. But you deal with things, on a daily basis. We had a goaltending coach that went out today with COVID. So that's layered on top of the normal stuff that happens when you deal with injuries and all the rest of it. So, the lessons it seems like that's just today's life now. And it has been for the last couple of years. And I think it's going to be like that for the foreseeable future, that you just got to be prepared that what you plan for tomorrow may change, and you got to roll with it. That's sort of what we've been preaching with our group. And I think for the most part, they've done a really good job. Coming back here, we had a long layoff, and you don't know how everybody's going to react, right? You just don't know how everybody's going to react. In a lot of cases, we were, we're fortunate where a lot of the players that went through it, their symptoms were mild, but, there's one thing of just sitting around and it's different than getting up and playing in an NHL game. So you're constantly, you're just constantly monitoring and making sure the health of your team is as good as it possibly can. And, and be prepared to pivot when you need to.
In that vein, do you, and I know you can't tell us too much, but do you have any idea or a better idea as to what your schedule is going to look like here going forward? Has that stuff started to filter through to you at this point?
Not yet, Pat. You know, we know right now that our schedule is Thursday, and then I think it's the postponements are done. You know, we had the Islander game and the Vegas game on either side of the Ottawa game that were postponed, and then our next scheduled game, I believe, is on the Tuesday.
Yes,
and that's sort of what we're focused on right now. Now, we're led to believe that you know, by the closer to the end of the week, or maybe even the beginning of next week, we'll have an idea of what the remaining, you know, what our February schedule will look like. I don't anticipate, and I say this because it could change, you know, what I tell you right now could be different tomorrow, but we're not anticipating, in terms of the communication we've gotten from the league, that there's going to be a whole lot of change to January.
Okay.
In terms of games, excuse me, of games being added. But I think you'll see, you know, some change in February. Obviously, you know, over the Christmas holidays, it was announced of NHL players not participating in the Olympics. So it's probably, and I say this as just a best guess estimate, but, you know, the lion's share of that, what was to be the Olympic break, will, you know, will be a place where you can reschedule games. But we just don't know. But hopefully we'll have some more clarity, at least for the month of February, probably here in the next week.
In conversation with Flames General Manager Brad Treliving here on Flames Talk, to the on-ice stuff, 33 games in, just from a bigger picture standpoint, how would you evaluate what you've seen through the first 30-plus games of this year?
Well, I think there's been some good. Now, we're having this conversation after we've come off of you know, our most recent trip, which obviously, you know, we didn't get the result, and in some cases didn't get the play that we were hoping for, expected, and what we, you know, sort of the standard of our group's been at for a large majority of the year. So you try to balance that. I know that there's certainly, like any team, we've got some areas that we need to improve upon. But as we sit here after 33, I think there's been some real, you know, one of the areas that we really wanted to try to focus in is really setting an identity for our group. And I think, you know, Daryl and the coaching staff and the players have done a really good job of that. You know, and you know, there's certainly some points that we think we've left on the table. And as I said, the most recent trip, some areas that we know we can get better in. But, you know, we certainly we're happy with a large majority of our season to date. Now, having said that, you know, we're not even at the halfway point yet.
Yeah.
So I think that there's, for me, the encouraging sign is I think there's, you know, we're not sort of pedal down in all areas, that there's still some growth areas for us internally. You know, I'm not talking about outside additions here, but we think we're still not operating sort of at maximum level in terms of what we can get out of, you know, whether it be certain areas of our game collectively, certain individuals individually in terms of performance. So we think there's certainly another level that we can get to. We've shown it at times throughout the year. You know, we've done a lot of you know, we've played a large majority of our schedule on the road. You know, up until, like, it's up in the last three games here specifically, I think we've really established a strong road game, which I think is important. But, you know, if you look at the games, not only that were previously on the schedule, but certainly the ones that have been postponed, you know, we've got to be able to collect points at home, and that, you know, we've got to be better at home than we have up until this point in the season. So overall, there's certainly some areas that we're happy with, but certainly not content at all. And know that there's, like I said, if you're sitting here and you think you're hitting it at all cylinders and there's really no, you know, you've reached your ceiling, it's one thing. I think there's still certainly a level that we can get to, both from an individual basis, from a team standpoint, and, you know, get our team back on a real consistent basis playing to the identity that we've established here this year.
Brad, you mentioned the last three games and how, you know, coming there can be that recency bias when you're taking a look at the bigger picture, coming off three games where you weren't happy with the results and what you saw necessarily. Is you take a look at the opposition and where those three teams are, is there a danger that you can put too much stock into three games in terms of telling you where your team is, or do you look at those three games and say, no, we got some real clues about where our group is and maybe where we need to see some improvement?
Well, I think it's always dangerous, Pat, just to live game by game. I mean, we all do it. I know as fans, we do it. But as a manager, you got to be real careful of, you know, riding the wave, as I call it, whether it be, you know, when things are going well or things are not going well. You have to be real measured in your approach. You know, what it does when you play really good teams, which we did, it gives you a real, you know, it gives you a real clear indication of the level that you need to get to. And, you know, when you're just talking about those three games, I think they're, you know, there's different situations in each game. Ultimately, when the buzzer sounded in all three of them, it's not the result you wanted. I thought, you know, if you go back, you know, the game in Florida, I thought, you know, I thought we did some really good things. I think the underlying theme, I would say, in all three is, as opposed to what we've done through the majority of the year, is we weren't as tight defensively. You know, you're playing three teams that have got a lot of firepower, a lot of offensive firepower. But I thought there was a looseness to our game defensively. We gave up, you know, whether it be total chances, whether it be high danger chances, you know, stuff off the rush, odd man stuff that normally we don't do. I thought there was areas, like I said, in the Florida game, I thought, for a large stretch of that game, it was a very even game. I thought it was we probably played more to their strengths in terms of the openness of the game. You know, there was a lot of chances traded. I think both teams ended up near 50 shots. You know, you look the next night in Tampa, the next game in Tampa, you're playing against the two-time defending champs, and there's a reason why they are. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, at critical areas in the game, I thought they came out they came at us hard early. I thought Dan did a really good job to keep us in that game early. But at critical, in all three games, there was errors made at critical stages in the game. Carolina, again, I thought we had a real strong first period. There was a 5-minute stretch there in the second where they capitalized on some chances. And again, I thought our game became a little bit loose. So, you know, it's easy to look back on all three games and say, well, woe was me and the sky's falling. There were certainly some good things done, but, you know, to get to where you want to get to in terms of at the end of the year, where you want your team to be, to me, there's some areas that we definitely need to be tightened up on, and we can't expect to go into games and get into track meets and outscore our opponent, you know, let you get your chance, we'll get ours, and let's see who finishes on top. So we got to get back to the style of play that I think has made us successful through the first part of the year. And certainly there's some lessons you take out of these games. You take lessons out of each and every game, but when you're playing against top teams, it's a real good reminder to us and to the level that you have to get to. And that's what we're taking out of these games is they didn't. You know, as you said, the result was not what we wanted, but now you have to apply, that's a general statement, now how do you get better? And mm-hmm. what are the areas that you need to focus in? And that's what we're going to spend the next couple of days doing.
Flames general Flames General Manager Brad Treliving is with us here on Flames Talk this afternoon. Brad, you take a look at where you sit in the Pacific Division on points percentage. You're the number two team in the division. If that continues, you talk a lot about getting cues from your team. If that continues, and this is kind of where your group is as the year goes along, moving towards the deadline, does that make it easier for you as the GM to go out and actively look to make a big-time addition to this group?
Well, you're right, Patty. I've said it before, as you alluded to, you always take your cue from your team, and you always want to help. You know, when your players and your coaching staff put you in a position to do so, and we intend and hope and our expectation is for us to be there, so that we can add to the team. You know, that's our expectation. That's certainly what we want to hope for. As I said, we're sitting here at 33 games, so you know we're not even at the halfway marker yet. But there's certainly areas that we've identified that we would like to. You always look internally first. Is there ways to address things internally? You know, we have those discussions every day, and then certainly, you know, it would be my intention to help our team, to add to it. Now, that's a real general statement. Mm-hmm. You've got to have, like in any deal, you've got to find a fit. You've got to find something that, a deal that somebody's willing to do on the other side and all the rest of it. But I certainly hope that our team and anticipate and expect our team we're going to continue to play good hockey. And then at that point, it's up to management to do their job and help where we can, and that's certainly our intention. But you know, we've got a lot of work ahead of us, and like I said, we got a lot of hockey in front of us. But if we can help our team as we move forward here, that's certainly the goal.
Final question for you, and we'll kind of end it on a good note. And you made a big trade in June of 2018, acquiring Elias Lindholm and Noah Hanifin at that year's draft. When you pulled the trigger on that deal and acquired those two players, signed them shortly afterwards, did you envision a couple of years later that Elias would develop into kind of the bona fide number one center that he has turned into? Was that the vision then, or has that kind of been a pleasant development as his time with your team has gone on?
Well, the credit has to go to Elias. When we made that deal, we were, you know, we obviously felt strongly about Elias. We felt strongly about him as a player. We felt strongly, although it didn't manifest itself early on, that we really felt when we were acquiring him that we were acquiring him to be a centerman. And, that's been his natural position. I watched him a lot in his draft year that year, and, you know, he was a centerman in his draft year. He was a centerman all the way growing up. So we really felt that he had all the attributes to be a real good center iceman. And I would tell you this, Pat, we thought he had a chance to be a real good all around center iceman. He's outdistanced my expectation in terms of, you know, just how solid defensively he is. When Elias was coming through his draft year and even early on in his NHL career, you knew that he had skill. I mean, when we made that acquisition, when you look at not only the eyeball test, but when we really studied the data of his, we used to joke that, you know, he does everything right offensively for 190 feet of the ice. It's that last 10 feet where, you know, for us, he was creating chances. He had, you know, his chance data was off the charts. It wasn't going in. And whether that was luck, whether that was, you know, shooting percentage, whether that was just, we just felt that last 10 feet of the ice, if he could get some things to fall for him, that, you know, we felt that his numbers would increase from what he had put up to that point career-wise. We thought he was a real responsible player, but he's developed into, and I know people, especially in these parts, have talked about, you know, that true number one center. I think, you know, you go around the league right now, as a guy who can play against the top players, produce offensively, defend and check at an elite level. To me, he's a number one center in this league and a real good one. So the credit for where his game has gone lies completely at the feet of Elias and how the work he's put into it. And we're sure glad that he's a member of our team and he's a big part of it.
Appreciate the time today, Brad. Awesome to have you on. Thanks so much for doing this.
Okay, you bet, Pat. Take care now.
He's Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames, joining us here on Flames Talk and joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Come on in and enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and delivery also available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Matty Rose. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.